Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
I love that scripture. I don't know about you, but in our house, we have pot plants. We don't just have one pot plant. There's quite a few. And I don't water those pot plants because my wife is the one that waters them. She's the one that loves them. But our house is becoming like a greenhouse. I'm like, what is happening here? There's plants everywhere. It's like a nursery. I'm just not sure what's going on. But recently we went on holidays. And when we came back 7 or more days after holidays, I saw one of the plants. It's called a peace. It's a peace lily. This pot plant, looking at it, the thing was struggling. It was droopy. The thing was dying. Its leaves were really withering. I'm thinking, what is going on here? So I thought, oh, let me help the wife out. Got the hose out. You don't need a hose for a pot plant. Just got a little jug, right? Put some water in that thing. And tell you what, within like 12 hours, my wife tells me, oh, within an hour, the thing would have come back to life. But my observation when I actually looked at it was 12 hours later. I was like, whoa, the thing has come back to life. It was healthy. This lily was healthy. And it got me thinking, wow, that was after 7 days of no water. I watered the thing. And I thought, how many times do we as Christians just wait for a Sunday or wait for some moment when someone comes to feed us, to water us with the word of God? When actually this chapter, in Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man who is planted. Blessed is the woman who is planted by streams of water. Where you at, church? Are you like the pot plant? Or are you like the tree planted by streams of water? In this chapter, it talks about someone who is blessed. To be blessed is to be happy. It's to be delighted. It's to be joyful. It's even to be enviable. People look at you and go, wow, what is it about that woman? What is it about that person? Why are they like that? They're just so blessed. It tells us who is blessed. It says the person that is blessed is the person that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Who are you listening to? Who are you hanging out with? Who's giving you counsel? Who are you giving ear to? Because it says, blessed is he or she that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. It says, blessed is he that does not stand in the way of sinners. Now, the Bible says all fall short. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. So we know what it's like to sin. We know how that is. We fall into sin every now and again, but we know Jesus has paid the price and we have been saved. And we know we can't just hang out with Christians all the time and not be out there for unbelievers. They're in our community, they're in our lives, they're in our workplaces, and we have been them and times we're in the same position. This is not saying don't hang out, don't, but it's saying don't walk in the council. Don't stand in the way. Don't sit in the seat. Think about it. There's a descending order there. You start off with people, right? You're just walking with them. You're hanging out. Next thing, you're listening to them. You're starting to walk in their direction. You're starting to be influenced by them. Before you know it, you're standing in the same way they're standing. You're standing for the same thing. The word is being diluted because of that. Before you know it, you're not just standing with them or standing in the same way. You are seated. That's what it's talking about. You are entertaining. These are people that don't even love God. These are people that might even mock God. You know the different kinds of people they can be. This says, blessed is the person who does not walk, who does not sit, who does not stand. So who are you hanging out with? Who are you giving ear to? Because it says, blessed is the person who does not do that. So then what does the person that is blessed do? Verse 2. Says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Her delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it she meditates day and night. To meditate, to delight is to take pleasure. It's to long, it's to desire. It's saying this person delights in the word of God. They take pleasure in it. They meditate day and night, day and night. There's a big gap sometimes between the start of the day and the end of the night. But this is saying to meditate is to mutter. It's to muse. It's to speak out God's word out loud as you're reading God's word in the morning or whenever you read it. It's not just there, but you actually take it into your day. You take a verse into the day and you're like, I can do all things through Christ. That strengthens me. Oh, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will prevail. I am more than a conqueror. You just start to memorize these things, or you take it into your day. You incorporate it into the fabric of your everyday. Because here at Pneuma Church, one of our kingdom culture values is, when it comes to God's word, God's word is our foundation. That's one of our kingdom culture values. God's word is our foundation. And the question that we ask is, what does God's word say about that? Whatever you're going through, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're facing, whatever society is wrestling with, God's word is our foundation. It's not just pop culture that we listen to. It's not just what our friends say, just the people around it, but we go to God's word. God's word is our foundation. So it says, the blessed person is the one who delights in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. What's the most recent scripture that you've been meditating on? Or the most recent scripture, text, that you've actually found pleasure in? What's the most recent scripture that you have wrestled with? This is what this chapter, this text in Psalm 1:1-4 is talking about. To delight in the law of the Lord. So we know blessed is the one that does not walk, does not sit, does not stand in the counsel of the different characters we've talked about. But we know that the person that's actually blessed delights in the word of the Lord. But where is this person actually positioned, the blessed person? It talks about positioning. It says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. Can you see that tree behind me? It is by streams of water. Think about a tree by streams of water. Streams is like a continual flow of water. There's an ever supply. That water to us is like the word of God. It's always available. That tree planted by streams of water is nourished, it is fed, its roots go deep into the ground. The water, which is the word and the spirit, washes nutrients to the right places. It washes the waste away. This is what the word does when we're positioned in being planted in God's word. You guys hearing me this morning? Planted by streams of water. What occupies your thoughts? Joshua 1:8 says this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua 1:8. Where are you positioned today, church? Like I asked you before, are you feeling dry? And it got really quiet, didn't it? Because everything else before that was like, yep, I'm feeling joyful. I'm hearing from God. But are you feeling dry? How can a tree that is planted by streams of water feel dry? It can't. We have the same opportunity and position because of what Jesus Christ has done, to be planted by streams of water, to be planted in his presence. So we position ourselves where the water is always flowing, planted like a tree planted by streams of water. So we got this picture of this tree. But what comes with this position of being planted by the tree? Verses 3 and 4 talks about three things that come with us being planted by streams of water, with us meditating on God's word. It says, number one, the tree yields its fruit in season. The tree yields its fruit in its season. That's number one. And then number two, it says the leaf does not wither. Number three, it says whatever he does, whatever she does, she prospers. Those are the three effects of being planted by streams of water as per Psalm chapter 1. Let's look at yielding fruit in season. Think about fruit. Fruit is produce. Fruit is offspring. Fruit is the result that comes out of what is going in, the work that's put in, the word that's going in. The fruit can be attitudes that honor God. It could be attitudes that don't honor God if it's the bad seed that's going in. But fruit is produce. Think about fruit. What fruit do you find through the whole year? Like you go to the shops, you go to the market and you can find it. You're not going to find mangoes all the time, are you? You're not going to find, what's the other one? I was thinking, strawberries. You might find strawberries, but man, they don't taste so good. So there's a season when it comes to fruit, right? But then there's some fruit that are actually, you do find throughout the year, you find bananas, right? Someone likes bananas. You find apples all the time. But most fruit is seasonal. When it comes to fruit, when we're talking about our walks with God, fruit is actually God's responsibility. So we are planted by streams of water. We're meditating on God's word. But that's the seed, the word. Between the seed and the fruit comes obedience. That's our responsibility, is to obey the word, to practice what we're hearing in the word. So fruit is God's responsibility. So are you yielding fruit in season in your own walk with God? We're to remain faithfully planted in the word and we will yield fruit in season. Think about it. As you go on your Christian walk, as you go on the journey that you're on, when you're walking with people from work, doing a journey with them, you're sharing the gospel with them, they're not necessarily getting saved every day, all the time you talk to someone. But seeds are being planted. But then the fruit comes in season when you see that person come to Christ. If you're a parent, you're teaching your child the ways of God. You're doing devotions with them, but they're just not getting it. But then the fruit that we always think of, the big fruit, the big thing, right? Then it clicks in the child one day and they start to make godly decisions. That's fruit in season. So the person that's planted by streams of water yields fruit in season. What else comes with being planted by streams of water? The leaf does not wither. The tree's leaf does not wither, verse 3. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what you're going through, as you're planted by streams of water, you're meditating on God's word, you're dependent on God, you're not depending on yourself. Doesn't matter what season you're going through. Doesn't matter if it's hot, it doesn't matter if it's cold, if it's raining, because that tree is planted by streams of water, the leaf does not wither. How is that possible? How can a leaf not even wither? This is what the word is telling us. Because of your position, how you position, where you position today, church, this morning. Jesus talks about in John 15, 5-8, says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. It's all about being connected to God, being connected to the vine. And this is how the fruit comes. And Jesus says, you will bear much fruit. So the person yields fruit in season. The person's leaf does not wither. And number three, the last one is, whatever he does prospers. So when you're planted by streams of water, when you're meditating on God's word, it says, whatever you do will prosper. To prosper, who's this new location pastor that is preaching the prosperity gospel? What is going on? To prosper is to advance in the things of God. To prosper is to move forward in the things of God. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through trials. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through hard times. It doesn't mean people are not going to get sick. Yes, healing is available and all that, but it says you prosper. That word prosper actually has this sense of saying, bringing to a successful conclusion, of something in your life. Something comes to a conclusion because you've been on a journey. But in that journey, God's been doing a work for you to come to that point. So because this person meditates on God's word, it informs and directs their way. If you're in God's word and you're hearing what it's saying and you're following it, you are prospering. So prosperity is not always what we think. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." This is what it is to prosper. It is to trust in God and to stay green. It's all over the word, the water, the green, the fruit. God wants us to be a fruitful people for His glory. Now, for myself, right? I'm from Zimbabwe. I'm 38. I came here when I was 18, 19. In Zimbabwe, the unemployment rate is next level. So you come out of high school, you come here for uni, and you got the idea, I want to get a part-time job. But all the Aussies, they've been working at Macca's, they've been working at Safeway. You try to put your resume that's got nothing on it into a 7-Eleven or something, you're joking because you don't have any experience. So here's me at uni. My parents are paying international tuition fees like crazy. They're paying for my rent and everything. And I'm thinking, oh, I need some pocket money. I just want to help mom and dad. So I'm looking for a job, but I can't get anything. I'm walking with God. I'm planted in the word. Nothing's coming. But then finally, a few months later, something comes. This job where I get to go and deliver junk mail, like all these advertising pamphlets. I have to miss uni that day to go and do that. So I miss uni. Parents wouldn't be happy. I'm trying to make some money. I get to the shop. They got this big bundle of 100 of these things. They were heavy. I didn't have a car. I've taken the bus to this place. Oh, yeah, it's like a K away. Here's the mailways. This is how you get it. There was no GPS phone, smartphones back then in 2003. Anyway, I didn't have one. So I finally make my way there. I'm delivering all this stuff. I'm running back to go get another bundle because I'm only going to get paid like $15 for that first bundle. It's probably taking me like an hour or something or more. Black Zimbabwean, African, I mean, a white old man in the car sees this black guy trying to get somewhere, right? He's like, oh, do you need a ride? I'm like, I need to go get some more papers. He takes me there, get another one. I see these kids with a trolley playing around. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. I chuck my papers in the trolley and I make my way. Finally deliver everything. After tax, I probably only got about $25 for that, but I've missed a whole day of uni. That was my first job. Finally get a job, another one. Oh, we're doing market research close to the beach on an intersection. Tick, 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 tick. We're just counting cars going through an intersection, sitting on the grass. Is this what work is? Like, what's going on? Seriously. My other mates from uni that I do assignments with, they're like, got some proper jobs. I finally get a job at a 7-Eleven, work in the graveyard shift. Did that for like 2.5 years. But my boss was cheating me. She was putting, like saying I'm working 20 hours. Saying I was working 40 hours when I was only working 20 hours so she could reduce my rate. So, but I needed a job, so I just went on with that. And then it gets to the last year of uni, and all the other people at uni, all the Aussies, I love the Aussies. I've been here for as long. I've been in Australia as long as I grew up in Zimbabwe. So I'm Aussie too now. Call me a Zimbabwean Australian. But these Aussies, at the start of the last year of uni, they can apply for jobs for next year. But I can't because I don't have permanent residence. Thinking, oh, that sucks, man. So what that means is I'm going to have to wait until the end of the year and then apply for permanent residence. That could take another year, then I can get a job. And it was cool. That's just how it works. That's how it works in any country. That's how visas work. There's no dramas. But what I'm trying to show you is that I'm prospering at the same time. People are not seeing it, but then what happens towards the end of the year, all my mates have got jobs at the Big Four. I was studying accounting. They've got jobs by mid of the year. They know where they're going next year. I've got no idea what's going to happen. I'm just trusting God. But right at the end of the year, just before my last few exams, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to apply for a job. So I just apply for a job. I don't even do a cover letter. Long story short, man, I went for an interview on Collins Street. I got that job. My mates at uni, before I finished uni, I'm telling them, I've got a job. I'm starting in a few months. God came through. And people then look at me and go, oh, things always work out well for you. But no, they don't. But in that process, that was a three-year process. I came out of uni and I had a graduate job on Collins Street. I was loving it and God came through. But that's what prospering can look like in just one example, that God was guiding me. I was in His Word. Things were tough, but He was at work. So whatever He does prospers. And when you think about being planted by streams of water, having the Holy Spirit in you, the flow of the Spirit, the Word is always available. What can stop that in our lives? What can stop us from receiving that and walking in that? Because the tree is planted by streams of water. The Word's always available. The Spirit is in us. The Spirit is around us. But what stops that? What can be an obstacle that can stop us from yielding fruit in season? Stop us from seeing our leaves not wither, stop us from seeing ourselves prosper in what God has for us. I've talked about it from the start. Our surroundings, the people we listen to, the people we hang out with, the things that we watch, whether it's TikTok, YouTube, Netflix, as good as those things can be, they can really become influential voices in our head. So an obstacle can be our surroundings, our environment. The other obstacle is you. Is me in your own life. You can be your own obstacle to the Spirit moving through your life. You know, God has given us the Holy Spirit and He gives it without measure. The Holy Spirit is in us, is available, and we've just got to be open. We've got to be positioned to receive. And when you think about the fruits of the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, you think about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Now, those fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, godliness, faithfulness, are they seasonal? No, they're not seasonal. These are fruits that are there for every season. No matter what situation you're in, you can walk in those things because you're planted in the Word. The Holy Spirit is in you. So as you read the Word, you're feeding the Spirit that is in you. You give God something to work with. And whatever situations you're going through, those things flow out of you. You're in a conflict scenario with your boss, with a friend at work. It's like, let's go. You're just like going in this argument. But the fruit of the Spirit is available. You can speak to them in love instead of being angry. You can be patient in our conversation. You can speak the truth in love. You can be gentle, gentleness, faith, patience, love. They're all fruits of the Spirit. They're available. Picture a tree planted by streams of water, giving fruit in season. Just picture that tree that's planted by streams of water. It's green. Look at its leaves. There's going to be times where there's no fruit, the kind of fruit you think of in your life, you know, the big things. But this tree is always green because it's planted by streams of water. So when I think about this tree that is green, those leaves, the leaves indicate health, good health for a tree. When I see those leaves, I think of the fruit of the Spirit. So as a Christian, as someone that's walking in the Spirit, the leaves are like the fruits of the Spirit. They're always there. It's always available. You might not have the big things happening, but the fruits of the Spirit are always there. And they indicate good spiritual health. So because the streams are always flowing, the fruit of the Spirit are always available. So when we're not seeing results, let's remember God is still at work. When we're not seeing people getting saved that we're ministering to or trying to share the gospel, let's remember the seed is being planted. Let the fruit of the Spirit continue to be evident through you. What do you do when you're not yielding fruit? Stay in the Word. Let the word flow in and out of you, and the fruit will continue to flow, the fruit of the Spirit. Let us not grow weary of being green, because the fruit will come. Blessed is the one who delights in God's word. He is evergreen and bears much fruit, as he is planted by streams of water of the ever-flowing presence of God. A fruitful disciple, if you leave here today with one thing, is that a fruitful disciple, a fruitful Christian, a fruitful disciple is one who delights in God's word. Not just that, they delight in God's word, but they practice it. A fruitful disciple delights in God's word and practices it. Verse 4 tells us in Psalm that that person is not like the chaff that is blown away by the wind. The chaff on wheat, on a grain, is the outer layer that when they do the threshing, they throw it away. They throw it away, and the wind even blows it away before it's thrown away, because it has no roots. But we're like the tree. We're to be like the tree planted by streams of water, not easily moved by what the world says, not easily moved by what's going on around us. But because we're in the Word, the only thing that will move us is the Word, is the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. For us to walk in that, the Word says in Galatians 5, if we live by the Spirit, we'll also walk in step with the Spirit. So where are you positioned today in Yuma South? Are you planted by streams of water? What does your leaf look like? Is there fruit in your life? Who are you spending time with? Ask yourself these few questions as we come to a close. Are you like a pot plant waiting for a watering moment to be facilitated by someone else? Do you have a regular appointment with the Father, with the Source? And once you hear that word, when you spend time with God, once you hear that word, once He gives you a revelation, do you go back to it? Do you write it down? Once you get a revelation from God, do you memorize it? I encourage you to memorize God's word, because His word says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Hide that word in your heart. Another question, what's the first thing you think about when you wake up? And the last thing you think about when you go to sleep? Let us be a people that keep God in mind in whatever we put our hands to, in whatever we do. Can people see the fruit of the Spirit through your life? Do people look at you and see someone who is prospering? Because it's not about us, but when they see that, they'll ask questions, and what will you do? You'll point them to Jesus. What happens when the heat comes? Do your leaves wither? Or do they draw from the streams, from the rivers of the Holy Spirit, and continue to be green even in the drought? What fruit, church, are you missing out on because of what you're delighting in? Because there's so many other things you could be delighting in, taking pleasure in. What fruit are you missing out on because of who you're hanging out with? What fruit? This is the big question. What fruit are others missing out on because you're not stewarding, or I'm not stewarding, the position that Jesus Christ died for me to have, which is a position of being in relationship with Him, which is a position of being righteous? The blessed person that's being talked about in here is the righteous person. And our righteousness comes from Jesus. It's not from what we do. And we get to steward that relationship. Why don't you stand with me this morning as we come to a close and as the worship team comes up? Where are you positioned? Are you positioned by streams of water, yielding fruit in season, seeing your leaf not withering, and in whatever you do, prospering? What are we meditating on day and night? And whatever it is God is speaking to you, are we being obedient? When God asks us to do something through His word, through His voice, He actually gives us what we need to make that happen. God will not ask you to do something that He's not going to give you the strength to do, but we've got to depend on it. We've got to stay rooted. We've got to stay firm in His Word. So where are we positioned today, church? The Holy Spirit is here. And I want to finish with this verse from Ezekiel 47:12. This is who we are. This is who we are to be in Yuma South. Ezekiel 47:12 says, "And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." Ezekiel 47, verse 12. Yuma South, there will be food and healing for the lost. There will be food and healing for the community, for your neighbors, for the people around you. There will be food. Because we're God's people, because we're positioned in Christ, we're a people who are evergreen because we're planted by streams of water. Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord. Lord, we say we thank You for Jesus. Jesus, we thank You that You died on the cross, that You sacrificed. Lord, You sacrificed Your Son, Jesus, that we could be in relationship with You. And Lord, we thank You that because of that, we're in a place where as we open Your Word, Lord, You reveal Yourself to us. You speak to us. Lord, we make a declaration this morning that we're a people that will be nourished by Your Word. A people that will bear fruit because we're planted by streams of water. Lord, show us how to get into Your Word. Lord, give us a new hunger to open Your Word. Lord, we say we can't live without Your Word. We need Your Word. Your Word says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father." So, Lord, help us to be like that tree that is evergreen, because Your Holy Spirit is in us. Your Holy Spirit is ever flowing. So, God, we make a declaration today that we will be those people.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, and I ask You to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God, and that You have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.